This most unusual election year has an unusual primary campaign for the Republican nomination for governor. Four candidates are trying to unseat Governor Phil Scott, a popular incumbent who has won bipartisan acclaim for his handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. As VPR's John Dillon reports, the candidates include someone who voted for Scott in the past, a candidate who favors a new monetary system, and a convicted criminal who wants to eliminate the prison system.
Thank you so much. So excited to see such a colorful and highly qualified group of people here today.
Brookfield Republican John Klar is winding up a news conference on the statehouse lawn. He's sweating in his dark blue suit, but the heat doesn't dampen his enthusiasm. He hammers again and again on his themes of addressing the opioid crisis, tackling the state's pension deficit, and cutting government spending. Klar likes to describe the legislature as a swollen tick engorged with taxpayer money.
Let's pop the bloated dome, and then let's get back to making government more responsive, like the rest of us have to be.
Klar says he's on the libertarian side of the Republican Party. He says he voted for Phil Scott in the past and Barack Obama for president. But he says he gave up on Scott after the governor signed gun control legislation in 2018 and then signed a bill preserving a woman's right to abortion the following year.
So we have a crisis within the Vermont Party, which has led to this becoming virtually a one-party state. So what we are saying to other Republicans, especially now, is how far progressive does Phil Scott have to become before you realize he's not serving your interests anymore?
Klar, a lawyer and farmer, is the only one of the four challengers to have a bit of campaign money and an organization. Burlington conservative political donor Lenore Broughton gave $4,160 to his campaign, and he's drawn other contributions from the conservative wing of the party. Middlebury College political science professor Matthew Dickinson says any challenger has a tough race against incumbents in Vermont. And he says that's especially true this year, when Scott has dominated the airwaves with frequent news conferences where he details the state's response to the pandemic.
You can't buy that kind of free publicity. It's all positive, nonpartisan coverage. It's coverage that focuses on an issue that affects all Vermonters, regardless of your ideology or your partisan beliefs. And so I think that has really made it a greater climb for his opponents to defeat him.
The only way to gain any ground would be to out-hustle Scott on the campaign trail, Dickinson says. But that's also much harder with the physical distancing required to stay healthy. For his part, Scott, the two-term incumbent, says he isn't campaigning. He says his campaign doesn't have any staff, and in fact, he answers his own emails to his campaign office. Although he's sparred with the democratically controlled legislature over spending issues and a paid family leave bill, he says he's trying to avoid politics while he deals with the COVID crisis.
Well, you know, when I first started this journey running for governor, I had it in the back of my mind that I wanted to leave the office in better shape than I found it. And at this point in time, that's not possible. So I think we have to finish what we started.
Most of the GOP gubernatorial candidates try to get their message out through media interviews, profiles, or debates. That's the case for Bernard Peters, a 74-year-old retired state employee from Irisburg. Like Klar, Peters focuses on government spending and gun rights.
He said he was going to stay with the sportsmen and help the sportsmen and the gun owners, and he didn't. That bothers me because I've been an NRA member for forever.
Peter says he knows about government waste from his years working for the transportation agency.
I worked for the state for 35 years, and I've seen so much waste, it was scary. You know, you got to have more accountability.
Candidate Doug Cavett of Milton also has his eye on changing government priorities. Cavett wants to create a university of wellness and equity to replace Vermont's prison system.
What we have is a major problem with this. Well, what people like to call a criminal justice system, which is really a criminal financial system. And it's creating abuse in Vermont citizens, Vermont families, Vermont communities.
Cavett says he has experience with the correctional system, both personal and through friends. He served time after being convicted 10 years ago for aggravated sexual assault on a child. When asked about that, he refuses to talk about the case.
Yeah, I'm sure. Google everything, and it's all there for you. you know, but I will not give validation to any of that. There is no validation in these corrupt charges and or so-called convictions.
Cavett's other main issue is health spending. He says he wants to limit health insurance increases and cut hospital costs. Putney resident Emily Payton is seeking a societal change on another level. Payton says she wants to start with a new monetary system based on what she calls the Vermont Exchange that will operate outside U.S. currency.
Creating a monetary system, a system of doing business that increases a virtuous economy and allows for the people to fulfill their self-directed purpose is the best way that we can support the police, the best way that we can support each other.
Payton has run frequently for office. In the last cycle, she was a Liberty Union candidate. Like Cavett, her platform also includes criminal justice reform. Payton says she first felt called to run for political office at the age of 5. She counts herself a fan of Libertarian Ron Paul, which is among the reasons she says she's seeking a Republican nomination this time.
Ron Paul has had the same ideas. These aren't radical. These are transformative. Our times call for them.
But it's an extreme long shot that Vermont Republicans are willing to transform the party to the extent advocated by the 4 primary challengers. For VPR News, I'm John Dillon.